Baseball is back.
Perdomo makes the play.
And a high fly ball. No doubt about this. Home run, Marte.
They're going to send them all the way around. Corbin Carroll with an inside the park answer back.
I'm Ivan Melendez.
I'm Luis Gonzalez.
I'm Tori Lovello, and you're listening to the T-Backs Podcast.
T-Backs Podcast.
T-Backs Podcast.
Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the T-Backs podcast, bringing you all the hottest Arizona Diamondbacks talk and tea from across the pond here in London. We're proud to be Arizona's number one baseball and beverage podcast. And today, I've got a super fast 5-minute brew in the mug. And why am I drinking this? It's in honor of Corbin Carroll, the Diamondbacks speedy superstar. And why am I drinking this? Because in case you didn't know, Corbin hit his first home run of 2025 at spring training in Salt River against the Cleveland Guardians on Monday. And this wasn't just any home run. Not only did it come against former Diamondback Slade Ciccone, who of course went to Cleveland as one of the pieces departing Arizona headed for Cleveland with Josh Naylor coming the way. But this was not just a regular home run. This was a 423-foot bomb with an exit velocity of 107 miles an hour. And it's a pretty big change from, you know, what a lot of people might have been predicting in terms of Corbin's slugging going into 2025. But there's been a few small tweaks, and that's what we're going to talk about on the podcast today. A few small tweaks that have made Corbin look like a much better power-hitting prospect when it comes to the projections into 2025 than a lot of people might have had him down as. Looking at what we've seen previously from Corbin, out of 51 homers, their exit velocity is fairly low compared to other power hitters' exit velocity who've put up similar home run numbers. And in 2024, he had his lowest home run percentage of his career, which was a 3.2%, which, you know, it's still over league average. League percentage is, you know, pretty much exactly on the money at 3%. But I think it was below a lot of people's expectations for Corbin coming off of his absolutely stellar Rookie of the Year winning season in 2023. I don't think any of us really thought that could be, you know, repeated in the exact same way as it had been in 2023. Of course, the famously documented sophomore slump applies to pretty much every Rookie of the Year in Major League Baseball history. But, you know, Corbin didn't have a great year to start the year in 2024. But 2025 is starting to have some big projections on the board, and that's down in no small part to some of the mechanical adjustments that Corbin, you know, started to make second half of last year. And sort of coming through the off season, it's gotten a little more pronounced. And if you know baseball, you will see the similarities when it comes to these adjustments in terms of, you know, batting stance, technique, mechanics. You'll look at these new videos of Corbin Carroll and you'll see the similarities with, you know, sort of the face of the game. Some people call him, you know, the greatest living baseball player. I don't think that's really too much of an argument against. We're of course talking about that guy from up the road in LA, Shohei Ohtani. Now, before we get into the breakdown of what makes the Ohtani-Carroll hybrid stance technique really tick, we're going to give a quick shout out to the friends of the podcast who support the show. That's the Home Run Travel Company, who of course are Britain's number one and only baseball-themed travel agency as part of Travel Stylers Limited. They will get you to the games you want to see, the cities you want to see, the tourist stuff you want to do anywhere in the United States. We've got some pretty cool tours coming up in 2025. Yours truly will be part of the crew that's going out to the West Coast, hitting up San Diego, San Francisco, Los Angeles, of course, to see, you know, one of the topics of this episode, Shohei Ohtani. And we're going to be going to Seattle as well before, you know, I break off and I'm going to go and see the Diamondbacks. Super excited to see that. And then, of course, you could also go and see the West Coast by yourself, but wouldn't be nearly as cool as doing it with the Home Run Travel Group. And then also there's an East Coast tour. It's going to be hitting up Philly. It's going to be hitting New York. Boston and Baltimore are also on the agenda there. So do not miss out on either of those if you're looking to see some baseball this year and you look to have a little bit of an American holiday, have some hot dogs, have some beer, have some true Americana. Home Run Travel are the people to talk to. So thanks to Home Run Travel for being a friend of the podcast. But let's get back into it. So we're going to talk about, you know, what makes the Ohtani Carroll hybrid stance really tick. And to start, let's look at the fundamentals. It's important to note that Corbin has a really strong profile in terms of their mechanics, in terms of their technique, sort of all by themselves before we get into, you know, what he's taken from Shohei Ohtani. Remember, Corbin Carroll, this is a guy who put up numbers comparable to Mike Trout through their first 100 games in Major League Baseball. And their stance has a lot of little complicated extras that help them build unexpected power. And some of those went away in the start of 2024. He had to adapt a little bit of his swing after recovering from that shoulder injury. And we started to see him sort of protecting himself from that with the adjustments he made to his swing and his stance in the start of 2024. Yeah, that shoulder injury obviously came from a big overswing, big overextension. And you could tell that he was trying to cover that. And it left sort of a hole in where he could cover in his strike zone. He was, you know, just couldn't deal with that up and in fastball for a while. Like, he was swinging wildly and was getting nowhere near at those high fastballs. And a lot of people picked up on that really early in the year and targeted that zone. And Corbin, you could tell he was struggling both with the physical of getting to those fastballs and trying to barrel them up the way that he did in 2023. But at the same time, also mentally, there was that big slump, and he was really trying his hardest to get out of it. Torrey Lovello tried to protect him from this slump a little bit by, you know, moving him away from, you know, the leadoff or the top three spots in the lineup, putting him, you know, as low as fifth, sixth, seventh in the lineup to try and protect him from that, take the pressure off of him, help him break out of that slump. But, you know, Corbin's a big game player. If he's not thriving in those big games, he's not thriving at all. And we really started to see that slump already did get to him, I think. And there weren't too many other things he could really change halfway through a year to really fix that until, you know, at least after the All-Star break. He went and, you know, worked on his technique in the All-Star break, sort of looked at his stance, looked at that, you know, that toe tap and that leg extension. He corrected that overstriding, especially. He was really loading up in the wrong way in the wrong time during his wind up, and suddenly he was looking electric again. And despite what a lot of people called an underwhelming year, still only one of two players who managed 20 home runs, over 10% batted balls on the barrels, and over 30 stolen bases. And there's no pricing for guessing who that other guy is, Los Angeles' Shohei Ohtani. And, you know, building in a little bit more of that Ohtani technique into their stance is clearly working for Corbin now. You've seen the videos of him in batting practice, in the cages, and then hitting that home run off of Slade against the Guardians. How have they changed the stance? Well, they've brought their arms a bit lower, they're crouching in a bit more, and the bat is higher and further in front of their head. It's closer to what people have called that, you know, Ohtani superhero stance, I think, was what it was dubbed at the start of this year when he arrived at the Dodgers. And then this is opposed to that across and over the shoulder, like we saw in the start of 2024, where they sort of overloaded their swing and they really risked aggravating that shoulder pull. Even if that was, you know, a change they made to try and cover off that injury, they actually were potentially going to make it worse if they kept swinging that way, giving themselves more work to do. Now, Ohtani, they've sort of made it more of an Ohtani stance. It's not exactly the same, obviously. There's a bit of a height difference there. The profile of the player is a bit different. You talk about Ohtani as a hitter, he's, you know, kind of a pure slugger. He's going for power most of the time when he's hitting. Corbin's good at, you know, shooting some balls into the gap and using his speed to get on base. He's not just focusing on the pure power, but the power is something that he really was missing start of 2024. So that's clearly where the focus is on, of like getting a little bit more of that extra base slugging productivity back. But Otani's stance isn't this miracle one-size-fits-all that magically turns any hitter into, you know, a Rookie of the Year caliber slugger. He really has that presence and that strength as an athlete that allows him, in terms of his technique, he flies open very early a lot of the time and, you know, still makes solid contact. And this is in contrast to somebody, if we're looking at, you know, Major League Baseball's elite hitters, this is in contrast to someone like Bryce Harper, who sets up very similar, but he stays closed a lot longer and it allows a better grasp of, you know, the low outside strike, especially if you look at the areas of focus and the heat maps in their strike zones from where they're slugging. Now, Corbin comes in now with the adjustment that keeps that front shoulder tucked, especially given the fact he's a lefty hitter facing, especially when it comes to facing lefty pitchers. It's especially strong for Shohei versus lefties, keeping that left shoulder tucked and allowing the little hip wiggle and the lower torso coil to build a lot more of that power without sacrificing their balance or control. Otani does a lot more with less. He uses sort of a minimal movement and just releases immense power. You don't see him visibly tense before he unleashes it. He's just sitting there in that stance, waiting for ball to hit. And Corbin is going to be slightly different to that in the sense that, you know, his sweet spot in the zone is lower. Of course, there's a height difference there. And his new stance is more built on shortening the path to the ball. And Torrey Lovello is saying the aim of this was to generate better angles on certain pitches, building on last year's strength and, you know, continuing to iron out the weaknesses. And this is a process that saw them go from, you know, 635 OPS and 5 homers in the first half of last year to 919 OPS and 12 homers in the second half. So it's not, you know, a like-for-like copying of what Shohei Ohtani does, because they're different kinds of players, they're different kinds of hitters, and their areas of focus are going to be not too dissimilar, but they're not exactly the same, you know. Corbin's going to be, you know, the leadoff hitter, whereas Shohei could be, you know, a leadoff guy, or he could be, you know, a cleanup guy. We really not quite sure how he fits in with the Dodgers, depending on, you know, whether or not he's also pitching this year as well. That's another thing that's, you know, Corbin has yet to add to his repertoire. But hey, if Pavin Smith can do it with a zero ERA in all of his Diamondbacks innings pitch, then yeah, so can Corbin Carroll. Who knows? You know, he's not exactly got the best build to be, you know, an amazing lefty pitcher. He's hardly the big unit, but hey, you never know. Corbin Carroll is a pitcher. Stick that on your wild card Diamondbacks bingo for the year. But yeah, they're focusing on different areas, and I think Corbin's more focused on making these adjustments to not start the year as cold as they did. When you're getting featured on MLB Network and people are saying, "Oh yeah, well here's what's clearly what's wrong with your swing," and da 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 da, and everyone knows it, and yet you can't do anything about it. You know something's wrong. And that was the case with Corbin at the start of 2023. You know, he was defensive, he was protective, and he wasn't making any real progress in terms of getting out of that slump. The correction came from, you know, the small tweaks to his mechanic, but I think it was as much a mental thing of like, actually, you know what, I want a goddamn Rookie of the Year award. I can be a league-leading hitter. But, you know, that slump did affect what people are thinking about in terms of 2025 for Corbin Carroll. And I think this, I don't want to make too many projections based off of just, you know, one home run in one spring training game against a guy who's, you know, notoriously bad. When it comes to Slater Choney, he's amazing in one inning, immediately gets worse when you bring him out for a second inning. And this is exactly what happened with Corbin Carroll. You know, Slade got 2 Ks and then Ketel Marte grounded out in his first inning. Corbin Carroll comes up in Slade's second inning of pitching against the Diamondbacks, and Corbin Carroll absolutely takes him yard. So until we start seeing, you know, some other incredible caliber pitches, I think we're going to have to, you know, hold off on making too many huge predictions in terms of how much Corbin Carroll's going to beat up on starting guys. But, you know, Corbin's doing fine when it comes to hitting home runs off of big name pitchers. You know, he's absolutely destroyed Clayton Kershaw a few times now. So we're not going to go too much into who's specific that Corbin can focus on, but the predictions for 2025 for Corbin are wild, depending on who you ask. You know, some people are saying he's going to have a 30-40 season, you know, 30 home runs, 40 stolen bases. Because he's not going to have a 50-50. That's you know, he doesn't have the power for that. But he could definitely get, you know, a 30-40. And, you know, his rookie of the year season, he was stealing bases all over the place. So I think, you know, as long as he stays fit and he still has that speed, I think 40 stolen bases is absolutely a possibility for him, especially if he has that leadoff spot for the Diamondbacks. But other people are saying, you know, he'll be lucky to reach 20 home runs. And I think that's based off of, you know, his cold start to the year in 2024. Jake Oliver over at Sports Illustrated projects an OPS of 809 for the 462 slugging and 26 homers at a 4.60 WAR. And most agree that that is a conservative estimate. He's got a few things that we need to take into consideration here. Firstly, are we going to see Corbin Carroll from 2024? Are we going to see 2023 Corbin Carroll? What is going to happen there? I think we're not really sure what's going to happen there. It's sort of anybody's game when it comes to making predictions of just what kind of player we're going to see Corbin be this year. But there's a lot of sort of outside factors that can have the influence. The mental side of things, the physical side of things. Can he stay fit? Is he going to be worried about re-aggravating that shoulder injury or not? But then, you know, a slightly random stat that I picked up out of Jake's article is that he's slated this year, of course, to play exclusively in right field. I don't think anybody else is surprised by that. But that does eliminate the dip in, we can expect that his batting saw whenever he started in center field in the past couple of years. You know, and we know that, you know, that center field battle for the Diamondbacks, is it going to be Jake McCarthy? Is it going to be Alec Thomas? Is it going to be somebody else? Jorge Barroza's, you know, once again in and around the conversation there. Blaze Alexander might be looking to move into the outfield in order to make sure he gets some consistent appearances as well. That's something that's been talked about, of like, we have so many good utility guys, good infielders at shortstoppers and second especially. One of those guys is going to have to make way one way or another. Maybe moving to the outfield is going to be a solution there. But we know that Corbin probably isn't going to be the center fielder. I think if he does play center field, it'll probably be because, you know, Randall Grichuk might end up having to be in right one way or another. But Corbin's going to be the first choice right fielder. If we take away the small dip we see whenever Corbin starts in center field, and then we take away, you know, the shackles of the sophomore slump that's basically MLB tradition at this point, there's all of a sudden, you know, an amazing caliber player that we all know is there. But if you look at the statistical projections and you take away the negatives that you're adding in from, you know, the sophomore slump this year compared to what was expected, then the slump that he experiences when he's playing in center as opposed to in right field, and then, you know, the fall off that there is when it's just him hitting well and, you know, somebody like Ketel Marte is missing from the lineup. If you say that the whole Diamondbacks lineup stays fit, Corbin plays better when everybody is fit. And that results in Fangraphs having him 22 rank of all MLB hitters projected in 2025. And only Ketel Marte ranks higher on the Diamondbacks in the 20th position. And then ESPN has him at number 11 in fantasy baseball value of any player, pitcher, or position player. So surely all of these experts and, you know, also myself, because I'm going to optimistically say Corbin's going to have an amazing year. Surely all of these guys can't be wrong, right? We all know how good Corbin can be. That 2023 Rookie of the Year campaign was one of the most electric, and I think he was so well suited to that Diamondbacks team, playing in that way, having unexpected power. He was a bit of an unknown quantity. We're excited about him, but he really broke a lot of people's wildest dreams when it came to how good Corbin was in 2023. He was running the bases well. He had amazing power. He, you know, came close to ending Clayton Kershaw's career with taking that curveball and taking it absolutely yard at Dodger Stadium, which, you know, I was watching that live from a hotel room in Los Angeles at the time, and I wasn't at the game and I regretted it. But man, oh man, was that a big moment. So I think Corbin's definitely got the potential to really makes a big impact on the Diamondbacks 2025. I don't think anyone else was really doubting that, but that you rewatching that, the impact of that homer in its glorious 144p low res video, because there was no live stream of the game yesterday, so we're reliant on a few fan videos and then the low res replay that was released on MLB.com. So we don't really have a super HD image of the new batting stance just yet. But looking at it, he's clearly made those mechanics. He's got that look where he's comfortable in the ball that he's taking as well. The facial expression is an important thing in terms of gauging where Corbin's at, because he can be super expressive, but he's not like, you know, like a Brandon Fart smirk when he knows he's throwing a good pitch and has a feel for it. But, you know, you look at him taking some high heaters in 2023, and the facial expression from that to him taking the same pitch in 2024 is very similar. And yet the result is very different. But you look at the pitches he's taking in spring training in 2025, he knows he's all over and he's producing the results. You know, it's not been a great start to the spring training for the Diamondbacks. They're 1-3 so far in 4 games at the time that I'm recording this. So, you know, that's not a great record. However, it's spring training. We're seeing a lot of young guys. We're seeing people who probably aren't going to make the Major League roster kind of being in and around that Diamondbacks lineup. You're obviously seeing a lot of, you know, pitchers only throw one inning, you know, type stuff, which means that good bullpen candidates are going to look even better in spring training, and no one's really giving 100% yet. People are playing it a little bit safe, you know. Ketel Marte running up on a ground out to short, and he's only really giving 80% to try and beat the throw. He's not going to be sprinting full tilt. That was one thing that's pointed out in the game against, I think it was against the Rockies, not the Mariners, early last week. So yeah, spring training definitely not, you know, 100% going on. But Corbin looks like he's comfortable. You see him in the cage, you see him in BP. He's got this mechanic down to a T. It's clearly been a lot of small adjustments, but it's important that the Diamondbacks haven't overcoached any of his natural instincts out of him either, because he's going to have that short bat to ball time compared to, you know, 2 years ago. And that's going to help him, you know, work on, you know, pitch identification, look at what pitcher sequencing is going to be, and he's going to make a difference that way. And I'm, for one, really excited to see what Corbin Carroll can come up with in 2025. We're going to leave the episode there. That's been our little breakdown of, you know, the Shohei Ohtani Corbin Carroll hybrid stance and what that's going to mean for the Diamondback speedster in 2025. I want to say thank you all very much for listening to the podcast. Please remember to go and follow us wherever you're listening, over on socials at TBACS Podcast and on TikTok at TBACS. Thank you very much for listening. I've been your host, GB Diamondback, and we'll see you on the next one. Goodbye.